Aren't you glad this morning that the Comforter has come? Amen. That the one who is able to add strength to our weakness is here with us today. He gathers with us, He meets with us, and He empowers us. It's a good thing. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, they will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that grows up inside of us, but we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the second comforter. Jesus was the first. He came alongside us. He walked with us. He walked among us. He showed us the love of God. He showed us what love meant. And then he said, I will send you another comforter, and that comforter is the one who dwells inside us and empowers and enables us to love, to have joy, to experience peace, all of those wonderful things that we'll be talking about later. Let's pray. Father God, we need your presence today. We need you to lead us to the throne of grace. Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school class this morning that focused on how much love is the more excellent way and how we can live into it and all the dynamics of love. But then I thank you that you reminded us that this is love. Not that we loved you, but that you loved us first. We respond to your love. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us today to respond to your love. Help us to worship you because we have been so deeply and powerfully loved. Lord, may we experience that love today. Love from you, our Father. Love through us to our brothers and sisters. Help us today as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
So you've been asking the wrong question. Instead of asking, what will we do without you? The question you ought to be asking is, what will God do with us? It's really his problem. He is the giver of every good gift, as Pastor Kurt reminded us in prayer this morning. It really is up to him because it's his body. He gives gifts to build up his body. It's not about me. It's not about you. And because that's what I believe, this is the song that I want to leave you with. Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the light when it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. I've only got one life to live. I let every second point to him, only Jesus. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when all is said and done. 'Cause all that really matters is, did I live my truth for the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only name to remember. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if you remember me. Only Jesus. I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if you remember me. Only Jesus.
I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to be beginning at verse 13. It starts with the word for, which tells you you need to go back and read what's in front of it. I'm going to let you do that on your own. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, as we consider your word today, it is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is convicting under the weight and the power and the influence of your Holy Spirit. It is convicting. It is convicting, leading to a godly sorrow that causes a heart to repent, a person to repent and turn from their own self and their own selfish ways and turn to you, the one true living God. It is a powerful word, a word of comfort, a word that adds strength to us, a word that holds us up and carries us. And these words are your words, and they promise not to return void. So, Father, minister to us through them today. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, there's a lot that I could say about these words that have just been read. And if you were willing to fasten your seatbelts and stay for the rest of the day, we might even have a possibility of scratching the surface. Because each one of the words that we read, each one of them, whether they be the works of the flesh or whether they be the fruit of the Spirit, each one of them could afford to be unpacked and delivered to you in greater detail so that you would know exactly what they're talking about. But I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to do His work. I'm going to trust that His word will not return empty, that it will do its work. And I just want to whet your appetite and get you to maybe come back to this passage and seeing it something more than simply a list of fruit. An incomplete list of fruit and an incomplete list of sins, of works of the flesh. I want you to know that the Apostle Paul, as he penned these words to the Galatian church, he had a specific context and a specific situation in mind. And there appeared to be not just the attempt to try and fulfill the law, to be Judaized, to go and do the works of the law all over again for their salvation. But there also appears to be just a little bit of dissension and disagreement and disharmony in the body. And he's writing specifically to that group of people, to that group of people in that context. And he writes these words to us today. And he's reminding us that we were called for freedom. We were called for a joyous freedom before God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a freedom of relationship with the Father that would so fill us with joy and love and peace that it would just ooze out all over us and spill all over everybody else. It's a freedom, though, that is not a freedom to do whatever we want. It's not a freedom to just go live and whatever, do whatever you want to do, because as I've said before and I will say again, it's not about you. It's about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because it's about them, it's also about others and how we engage others. And so we're called to freedom, but we're not supposed to use that freedom in a way that says, well, you know, I've been saved by grace, so I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter what I do in the flesh. No, that's not true. We were called to freedom. We've been forgiven greatly. We've been forgiven deeply. And one of the things that is just absolutely amazing about our God is that He loves us in spite of us. That He died while we were still sinners, Christ died. And you know, we spend so much time trying to clean ourselves up to come to God. And God says, just come to me. I made you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. And it's that relationship that is eternal life. Jesus Christ said, this is eternal life, that they know, that's intimate knowledge, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. You see, He just wants us to come to Him. He wants us to abide in Him, to dwell in Him. And His grace is full, it's marvelous, free. It doesn't matter the sins that you have committed in the past. It doesn't matter the sins that you may be committing right now as you're daydreaming. It doesn't matter the sins that you will do in the future. Because Jesus Christ died once for all of those. Okay? But we don't want to go on crucifying Christ our Lord. We don't want to go on causing Him pain. And so this great freedom of relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and an ability to love joyfully, passionately, peacefully, with kindness and goodness, that power that He has given us, that freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, is not to be used for our own personal gain, for our own personal desires, for our own personal wants, for our own personal passions and lusts to satisfy me, but instead, it's supposed to be submitted to the head, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know if when we were singing the song and you said, under the head or something like that, in the song, I was like, huh? Because I wasn't really paying attention to the rest of the song. And I had to go back and read. Oh, yeah, okay. We submit to the head, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We do what He wants us to do now. And so when we have this freedom, but this freedom isn't to be used on us. It's not about a personal freedom that I get to do what I want to do. It's about the freedom, the ability to now live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Instead of living for myself, I can live for Him. The whole law is filled up, fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out. You see, there is that discord, there's that disharmony. It's in the nature of that. And that's why I said where the gifts of the Holy Spirit tend to be to make God visible to the world and to build up the body. It glorifies Him. But these gifts, this fruit that grows up naturally, and by the way, all of these are supposed to be in all of us. You know, where it comes to the gifting of the Holy Spirit, we all have different gifts. We're all wired differently. We're all made differently. And the Holy Spirit anoints us and empowers us in different ways. But when it comes to the fruit, we're all supposed to manifest these character qualities. We're all supposed to have this. This is for everyone. And there's more. We talked about it in the Sunday school class this morning. Hope's not on that list. You think hope is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? That we would have that hope that would keep pulling us forward, that would keep helping us to live the way we're supposed to be? Yeah, that's part of the fruit. If you go and you read the whole Bible, you'll find out that there are other things that the Holy Spirit brings up in our life. But these are family kinds of things, relational kinds of things, things that help us to live in community. If we bite and devour one another, watch out. You'll be consumed by each other. How many people do you know that when you try and share Jesus Christ with them, they maybe have heard the name, they maybe have gone to church, but they don't want to have anything to do with Him or with the church because of the body that they were exposed to, because of the biting, the devouring, the confrontation, the difficulty that's happened in a church? I spend an awful lot of time as a pastor saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive us, the church, for not behaving like Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That being said, what are you going to do with Jesus? Because He has asked us to gather together, and He has asked us to try and work through these things. He's asked us to stop biting and devouring one another. He's asked us to put our own differences aside and gather together for the greater good and the glory of God. And then we get to this, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, I just want you to notice, this is an if-then clause. This is a clause that says, if you do one thing, then you will get another thing. Do you guys believe this? Do you really? I hope so. Because I've heard an awful lot of whining, moaning, and complaining that says, oh no, I can't really do that. If you walk by the Spirit, then yes, you can. Okay, let's quit making excuses for ourselves and start saying, God, help. Don't you think that would be a fitting way to go? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will no longer be consumed by your own passions, your own lusts, your own desires. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what your pet sin is. I don't know what your pet passion is. I am sometimes amazed at the things that my brothers and sisters in Christ are attracted to, because I'm not at all attracted to them. But that doesn't mean I don't have an area of sin. That doesn't mean that I don't have something that I struggle with. That doesn't mean that I don't have a passion, a lust of the flesh that I struggle with. I do. And we have to submit those to God. We have to say, God, You have said that if we walk by Your Spirit, then You will put those things to death. You will take care of them. Do you believe that? Close your eyes for just a second. I like you to do this because it allows you to get all of the distractions out of your mind. And I want you to think about whatever excuse it is, whatever thing it is in your life that you say, I can't. I have fought this. It's been an area of temptation, a difficulty for me all my life. I can't. And I want you to hear these words with that in mind. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify whatever that thing is. This is for you this morning. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify that thing, whatever it is. You can open your eyes again, and you can say, Lord, help me to walk by the Spirit. You want to repeat that? Lord, help me to walk by the Spirit. Well, the works of the flesh are obvious. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other. They're in constant conflict with each other. And it says here, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do, but it really should be to say that you can't do either. Well, if you want to go one way, the Holy Spirit is putting you in check, and you want to go the other way, the flesh is pulling you back, and so you have to live in that tension of saying, oh, Father, help. Because I live in this mortal veil. I haven't yet arrived. I'm not in heaven. I'm not glorified. I'm not entirely where I need to be. So Lord, help. Help me to overcome. Help me to be better than I can be on my own. Help me to be the you that you made me to be. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not going to be worrying about trying to keep things. And one of the commentaries that I read said, you can't legislate love. What is our mandate? Our mandate is to love, right? But you can't legislate love. Love has to flow up from within. Love has to come up inside of us, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. It's a command, love one another. And we need to be seeking and striving to do it, but you can't love someone just because someone tells you to. You have to cooperate and yield and submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do the work in you. And then you will be able to do it. Now, the works of the flesh, I'm not going to read each of these. The works of the flesh are evident or obvious. Do you get that? Do you understand that there's a physical, human, secular way of living that says it's all about me? I can satisfy my desires, my cravings. I can live for myself. I can pursue my own ends and my own desires. I can be envious and jealous of those who have more than I do. I can covet, and I can desire, and I can work hard to achieve, and I can do all those things because it's about me. You get that? You see, we're inundated with that. That is the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of this age. You deserve a break today. It's an old commercial, but it's still, you know. I understand Sue, in her travels in Sacramento, saw a bus stop that said, it's all about you. No, it's not. It's all about God. It's all about God. God is the one who made us. We were made for Him. We were made by Him. He's the one who empowers us and enables us. And so when we start thinking about ourselves and our own desires, all these things are about me, my appetites, my desires. And they oftentimes come at the expense of others. The first one on the list, men, is that pornography. And I say men, women have a problem with it too. It's just they don't have as much of a problem with it. In our day and age, women struggle too. But men, if the polls are right, 50% of us struggle with it. Ouch. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You're going to turn away. You're going to put guards. You're going to make a covenant with your eyes, as Job said, that they shall not look on a woman lustfully. And you know, a lot of times people say, oh, it's no big deal. It doesn't hurt anybody. Yes, it does. It's using and abusing and misusing the gifts of God, and it is objectifying another human being for the purpose of personal pleasure. And that is wrong. and we ought not to do it. So men, it's not about you, it's about God. Because it's about God, it's about the other. And if we're going to see the best in the other, we have to quit objectifying them and quit seeing them as a tool for our own gratification. You get that? You understand? You can't do this. But if you walk by the Spirit will empower you to do this. And I can tell you that I was on the wrong side of the 50% at one point in my life. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit, I'm now on the right side of the 50%. And I thank God for that. And I thank Him every day because the temptations are there. They're real. They're constant. And men, we have to quit making excuses and start trusting God to deliver us and to free us from that. To love women, truly love them. Love them and see them not as an object for sexual gratification, but to see them as a child of the living God, the daughter of God, one of His princesses. That's a different way of viewing them. Well, he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I want you to know here, The do such things, it's not that, you know, I slip and fell. I'm working on this. I'm fighting against this. I'm asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I just blew it again. I went for weeks. I was doing great. And then, I just fell. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the people who make an excuse and say they can do it habitually. They can go on living this way because God's grace is full, sufficient, and free. And it doesn't matter what I do. I can live how I want. I can satisfy my own desires. I can live in these promiscuous, faulty ways. I can do my own thing, and God still has to save me. God still is obligated to accept me. Scripture very clearly says not. So I'm just going to ask you honestly, are you in purposeful rebellion against the known, revealed will of God somewhere in your life? If you are, quit through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what it says. And instead, these other attributes will take place in your life. You'll have love. Remember, what is love? Someone help me with my definition of love. You've heard it enough times. What is my definition of love? It's not actually my definition. It's a biblical definition. But you've heard me say it often enough that it's almost like it's mine.
Love is to seek the best for the other without fault for yourself.
Love is to seek the best or the highest good of the other with regardless of cost to self. Without considering cost to self, just doing what's best for them. Easy peasy, right? No problem. Easy peasy under the indwelling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. You try and do that on your own, good luck. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that can only come from one who realizes how much they are loved, how much they have been given, how much they are blessed. Joy should just flow out of us. Some of you need to notify your faces that God is a God who has given you joy. Peace. Peace with God, peace with human beings. Shalom, wholeness, rest. Patience. Patience is not just, you know, patience. It's long suffering. The ability to suffer for a long time like you are this morning. Because you all want to go have lunch. And I haven't released you. You're being very patient. Especially my teens. Thank you for not walking out on me. I will close soon. Patience. The ability to suffer for a long time. Kindness. To do that which is helpful. Even to those who are your enemies. Goodness is also generosity. That word for goodness can be generosity as well. It gets translated that way in some translations. It's the opposite of the one who is envying and covetous of what another has. It's being able to be generous and say, I'm so glad, brother, you have that three-wheel Harley Davidson motorcycle that I would just love to have. But praise God that you have that. I'm happy for you. You see, a spirit of generosity, a spirit of goodness, a spirit that says, I am happy for the other even when they get what I want. And I don't. I love you, brother. He's looking around. You see, this is the real rubber meets the road world that we live in, where we have to learn and practice and develop these attitudes. But it's all about the Holy Spirit in us. It's all about His empowering. You see, it's fruit that grows naturally out of a walk with God. It's those kinds of things. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to close. What was the closing song? That's a great song. We should sing it, but we won't because it's late. I know. If we live by the Spirit, we need to keep in touch with that Spirit. We need to walk hand in hand with Him. We need to trust that He will lead us, that He will empower us, that He will do for us what we can't do on our own. And brothers and sisters, hear me. We need to quit making excuses. And we need to start saying, okay, God, You've said this, it's radical. But it means things have to change in my life, and they can't change under my own impetus and my own power. So You do in me what I can't do in myself. But I'm here, and I'm willing, and I'm available. So God, do an extraordinary work in me. Because those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions. Let's do that, shall we? So that His fruit will enable us to be a body of love that the world can see. Father God, thank You for this time. Thank You for the patience of these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, there is so much more to say. We have barely scratched the surface, but I pray that the power of Your Holy Spirit, the one who inspired these words, would drive the words home that need to be driven home. That You would clarify to each one of our hearts exactly what we need to hear and transform us so that we would be pleasing, obedient children of the Most High God who reveal You to our world and to each other with great love. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Today, I just bless you and I say, go in the power of God with the fruit of His Spirit flowing through your veins that you might love the world powerfully. God bless you as you go.